Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking, to help brighten your day. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. Yes, sir. And good morning, all your friends. How are you? And did you live over the hot weather? We always manage to live through things, don't we? Well, for a few days, I began to think I wasn't going to make it. But thanks to a good son-in-law who gave me a fine, almost ice-cold air conditioner for my bedroom, and 2 years ago, I made it fine. I just wonder if any woman ever had as grand and kind and thoughtful a son-in-law as Herman Jantz is to me. I sometimes wonder. Herman Jantz Lumber Company. By George, that's a peg, isn't it, Fred? You buy your lumber there when you're in town. Best man in the world. You never regret knowing them. Thanks for trading stamps this morning when I got here, and I'm going to drop a card to you folks who sent me. And bless Pat, V. Scott of Seymour. Now, I don't know whether... V. Tate instead of Scott. T-A-T-E. I don't know whether it's a Mr. Tate or Mrs. Tate, and I do wish, my dear friends, that you'd put Miss or Mrs., and I never do know when you're just off M. McCord. If I was just M. McCord, you wouldn't know whether I was man or woman. And I'd love to know. But anyway, they sent me a box of old-fashioned plum grannies ripened. My, they smell wonderful all over the room and all over the office. All everybody's been looking at them. Thank you so much. You know, our grandmothers always raised them, carried them in their pockets so they'd smell good, in their pocketbook. Thank you so much. You know, it does something to a person to raise flowers. It heals a sick soul. God lives in a garden. My mother was the greatest flower woman I ever saw in my life. She'd carry a little sick geranium in a pot home from a neighbor's and fairly hospitalize it and nurse it for the neighbor and take it back to her well and lovely. She knew all flowers. She knew their names, their families, their botanical names, their Latin names, and from whence they came. One time I dreamed about my mother shortly after she died, and she was walking in a flower garden. And I never worried the same anymore, for I knew she lived in a garden. I could see her as plainly as I ever saw her in my life, between the rows of larkspur and roses and mignonette, smiling and waving back at me and crushing the cold science of defeat. It was truly a vision. Yes, this is a beautiful world. The world God made is a lovely one. The ugliness in it's man's idea. It's a world we can live in and love in and dream in. A fellow said, thank heaven we can still get all the building material we want. That is, material for our air castles. Well, we go this way but once, so why not make the journey well worthwhile? Giving to those who travel with us a helping hand, and smile. And nevermore can we go back along the self-same way to undo the wrongs or speak love's words we knew but didn't say. I often read the broadcasts I have of Mirandy, that inimitable popular radio star on the coast out in Los Angeles, Mirandy of Persimmon Holler. You know, she was born down here in Forsyth, was a highly educated woman, taught in our schools here, and been to universities and all, and she went out there and she got into radio. I think Mirandy's on yet, part of the time, but boy, she was a whiz for some years. I have lots of her broadcasts, and one of them she says, once in a while I get myself all tied up in a knot, trying to do more in a day than there's hours to do it in. So I just take myself in hand and give myself a right good talking to. I've got a case right back in my own family to look back on. I had Aunt Sally that always had the whole world resting on her shoulders. She was an awful good woman, but she'd sit and worry about the heathens over in places she couldn't even pronounce the names of. She was the outdoingest woman that ever lived. The best housekeeper and canner and pickler in the country, but she was lean as a splinter and always had her face pulled down like she was a-fixin' to eat mush out of a churn. I can see her yet. She wore her hair in a little peanut up on top of her head and kept it twisted up so tight it pulled her eyebrows plumb out up in the middle of her forehead. They used to say she'd go upstairs and call her daughters, get up, Melissa, get up, Get up, gals. Sure, 'tis Monday morning, 4 o'clock. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Next day's Wednesday. Half the week's gone and no work done yet. Get up, gals. Well, sir, she says, Aunt Sally worked and worried herself into an early grave. And to tell you the truth, folks wasn't so sorry about it as they'd ought to have been. Just because she never was no comfort to anybody or herself either. But she had awful good man, Uncle Charlie. He's still alive. Kinder peculiar some looking old man. He's long coupled and knob jointed and tall enough to wade the river. I reckon that's what got him in the habit of walking with his knees bent. When you see him coming down the road, you can hardly take your eyes off him. You keep looking for him to shut up like a jackknife. One time him and Aunt Sally went over to Oklahoma City to visit their son's folks, and Uncle Charlie, he was a-standing a-looking at a tall building with his jaw sort of dropped down and his mouth open like he generally did. And Aunt Sally, she says, Charlie, shut your mouth. He says, shut your own mouth. I ain't said a dad burn word. Poor Aunt Sally. She never was a happy person. Robert Louis Stevenson said, a happy man or woman is a better thing to find than a 5-pound note, and their entrance into a room is though another candle had been lighted. Isn't that wonderful? As though another candle had been lighted. The hillbilly poet says it this way in an old verse. Here's to the man who can, if he wills, live and be happy in the Ozark Hills. He'll have cattle in the pasture, hogs in the pen, sheep on the range and wheat in the bin. Horses in the stable and money in his pocket. A baby in the cradle and a pretty wife to rock it. Corn in the crib and chickens in the yard. Meat in the smokehouse and a big can of lard. Milk in the milk house, cheese on the board. A little sack of coffee and sugar in the gourd. In the old days, they used to say that the way to get rid of trouble was to move off and leave it. So they'd take down the fiddle and the shotgun, shut the door, call the dogs, and go. Well, maybe they could move off and leave their troubles in the good old days, but we can't in this supersonic age. I wish we could. And I want to say hello now to the Berry Tour folks who are returning on the big bus from their lovely week over our great Ozarks, our great Ozark Empire, and they're going back east. I send you my love and greetings, as I said I would last Saturday night down at the hotel. Goodbye, God bless you, and do hurry back. Do hurry back. Now about the sweet potato blooms. I've got to settle that up, as I told you I would last Saturday. Miss Simpson, you know, of Route 5, Springfield, called me about and said she had one to bloom. You remember so many answered my request last Saturday to tell us if they ever saw a sweet potato bloom. Hastily, I think I'll have time to tell you who they were, most of them, and thanks so much. You know, it's these little earthy things we like to know about. This year seems to be a year for sweet potatoes to bloom, as several have written me. Of course, a sweet potato bloom is a freak of nature. The West Plains Daily Quill writes me that Mr. Max Heselton had never seen sweet potatoes bloom until last week, but his did. A light purple morning glory-looking bloom on one of his 50 hills of them. The paper says that Norman Rissner, farm agent down there, says the blooms are a phenomena that occur rarely, but do occur. From a Crane, Missouri paper, it says Mrs. Famous Smith came in June the 16th with a blooming sweet potato plant. Mrs. Clara Wilson of Marshfield writes me that her neighbor has a big patch, and 2 sweet potato plants have bloomed, and they have blooms like a morning glory, and they stay out till about 10 o'clock. And, she said that 9 blooms opened on one vine, and they were beautiful, white with a fuchsia throat. Mr. Ralph Knight of Jasper, Missouri, wrote me that Mrs. T.R. Eliason of Carthage, on a rural route, told him that she had them to bloom a few years ago. It was a variety named All Gold, he thought. Thelma Schott of Halfway, Missouri, rural route, sent me a pressed bloom in her letter. Said she had 3 vines blooming in her patch. Like everyone else, she says they never saw them before. Mrs. Lena Owen of Springfield says she once planted a Puerto Rican sweet potato in water in her home for decoration, as people often do, because, you know, they grow in vines so beautifully all over the room. The vine will run everywhere. She says it bloomed a lovely blue morning glory-looking bloom, but never after that did another one ever bloom. Merlin C. Kirk of Richland, Missouri, wrote me that sometimes a bloom will appear on a sweet potato, but not very often. He's a native of Georgia and says many are grown in that great state for the markets, and very, very rarely there's one to bloom. Mrs. Blanche Sullivan at Purdy, Missouri, says that a few years ago they had some sweet potato vines to bloom. Lovely blooms like morning glories. Also, she says their Irish potatoes had little green tomato-shaped fruit one year. They were told that these were potato seed, and if planted, they would grow different kinds of Irish potatoes. Now, isn't that queer? Mrs. Jim Parkinson of Exeter, Missouri, writes me that they have some sweet potatoes blooming right now, and the first they have ever seen. So it seems something must be peculiar about that blooming business this year. Mrs. D.T. Mooberry of Jane, Missouri, says they've had this blooming to happen also. And she says for me to check with our Green County agricultural agent for the reason. I wonder why I haven't thought of doing that before. Mrs. John Scott, Route Galena, says they had one to bloom several years ago, but it's indeed very rare. Mrs. Jessie Mahurin of Birch Tree, Missouri, says she saw one sweet potato vine bloom when she was just a little girl, and she's 73 now and hasn't seen one since. Mrs. Harold Owen of Sheldon, Missouri, says they had a few blooms on the vines last year, had raised sweet potatoes for 30 years and never seen a bloom before. A nice letter from Mrs. William W. Fox in Rogers, Arkansas, says they had one vine to bloom this year and also one a few years back, but never another one. Isn't it queer that out of a whole patch, one vine would bloom, only one? They're what's called, as I said, freaks of nature. And bless Pat, Mr. C.F. Young, a businessman at Hurley, Missouri, sent me a branch of the vine with the buds on. I put it in water, and they came on out. Also, Mrs. Nellie Douthit at Stella, Missouri, sent me a whole vine blooming in a box. And I put it in water, and it's still living. Thanks a million times to all these kind, kind listeners. What would I ever do without you? Always so good to answer things when I ask. And happy birthday to Mr. J.M. Calloway of Bolivar, Missouri, who will be 98 next Wednesday, the 15th. He's mentally alert, interested in the news and the ball games, particularly the Cardinals. And anyway, my love to Mr. Calloway and to Ruth Scott, my dear home citizen, who will be 90 Sunday. And, oh, I hope to get down there, Ruth, if I can. Maybe I can. Going to have open house for him, and everybody is invited that wants to come in his beautiful home in Galena, Mr. Ruth Scott. Bye-bye, and I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.